O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Amen. Two of our passages this morning live deeply in my memory. Like most of you, I can't remember the first time I heard the 23rd Psalm. It is probably the scripture that is most profoundly part of our culture. I can't think of any other passage that is referenced from the likes of Bach to Bernstein, Pink Floyd and the Eagles to Kanye West and Jay-Z. And our gospel passage today is one I remember being debated when I was in high school. Growing up at an evangelical Christian school, there was a constant debate about once saved, always saved. In other words, was it possible to lose one's salvation? This passage was one we often used to defend that there was nothing one could do to be separated from God once you were found. But others would question, no one can snatch us from Jesus' hand, but can you jump? It's pretty easy to laugh about now, but those were deep existential questions with no small amount of terror attached to them for me. As young people with lives ahead of us, was there anything we could do that could take us away from God? I believe there's a lot to be gained from pulling back from these few verses and looking at the passage as a whole. And that in doing so, I think we learn more about Jesus, about God among us, and it offers incredible promise and reassurance for our lives. You may have noticed a theme running through our passages today, that of a shepherd. In fact, we often refer to today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, as Good Shepherd Sunday. The image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is one of the most ancient and loved understandings throughout Christianity. You can find pictures showing this all the way from the catacombs of Rome, painted by some of the earliest Christians. However, the use of a shepherd as a metaphor for leadership, particularly God's leadership, was hardly new, and it would not have been new to those listening to Jesus' words the first time. The most famous reference, of course, is our psalm today, beginning with, "The Lord is my shepherd," and carrying the metaphor throughout the psalm. But it's not the only instance in the Hebrew scriptures. Many passages compare evil and ineffective leaders of Israel with the way that God longs to shepherd his people. For example, in Ezekiel, God says, "Ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed." But then God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." In today's gospel passage, Jesus follows this tradition. Our passage today is actually late in a discussion. During the other 2 years of our lectionary cycle, we read famous parts from the verses just earlier, where Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly," and then famously, "I am the good shepherd." The word for good here means ideal or model. He is what a shepherd should be. And he compares himself to others who do not love as he does, thieves and hired hands. The comparison Jesus makes in this passage is how he, as the good shepherd, responds when his flock is threatened, when we are in trouble. Thieves come to kill and steal and destroy, and hired hands run away when there is trouble. But Jesus, the good shepherd, stays with his flock and even lays down his own life to protect them. And here in our passage today, he goes on, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand." Whatever happens, whatever danger comes, nothing can separate us from our shepherd, from Jesus. Passages like these in John are now core to my faith. Part of what is so reassuring to me is that Jesus does not promise that the pasture will always be perfectly peaceful. He doesn't even promise that it will be safe. He does not promise to vanquish any threat that comes our way, and he certainly doesn't suggest that our faithfulness could save us from all our pain. Rather, he acknowledges that danger and struggle will come, but he promises that he will never run away. He will be with us, not above us watching while we hurt. He will lay down his life. He will be with his flock, whatever it costs. He will stay with us, and he will hold us together, and he will never let us go. It's the same promise we cling to in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. There are so many songs of exuberant joy throughout the Psalms, but it is this one that is unparalleled in use, not just in the church, but in society as a whole. I believe that this is a large part of the reason. It acknowledges that there will be darkness in our lives, and it promises that we will not be alone. Because that is the truth we all live through, is it not? There are thieves and wolves. There will be darkness. We will walk through those valleys. Sometimes it's truly the shadow of death, our own death, or the loss of one we love, one who was part of us that we don't know how to live without. And some translations say the darkest valley. And I believe that there's truth in this recognition that there are actually depths of depression and despair which seem even darker than death, suffering with no natural end in which death can seem like a release. We all travel through different valleys. We're threatened by different wolves. But these realities are part of all of our journeys. And whatever the darkness, the most terrifying, soul-numbing part of it is the isolation it can bring. The way trauma and pain and grief break down our connections and make us feel so utterly, finally alone. What gives me hope in this passage and in others in John is that we are reassured that this darkness is not from God. For me, the most painful suggestion when I am struggling is that it is God who brings the darkness, a belief that makes some people feel safer, but leaves us ultimately alone. But this is not the overwhelming witness of Scripture, especially in the Gospel of John. Jesus is the one who reveals to us that God will go to any length to be with us and will never leave us. The beginning of the gospel tells us that Christ is the light that shines in the darkness, who the darkness did not overcome. And today we hear that Jesus is the good shepherd who will never run away when danger comes, who will never let us go. Throughout Scripture, I believe that our God is the one who is with us in the pain, with us in the darkness, not the bringer of darkness. And there is a great difference there. For all the questions that I have about suffering and evil, and I have many, this above all is what I cling to. God will be with us, and we will never be alone. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. No one will snatch them out of my hand. We are never alone. We are never forgotten. This is the promise from the beginning to the end of Scripture. And the gospel takes it even farther. The work of the shepherd in this passage is not simply to bind up and care for each injured sheep, but to stay with the flock and lead them on so that they will not be scattered. Unlike Psalm 23, which beautifully sings of an individual relationship to God as shepherd, in John, Jesus tells us that something new is going on in the flock. In this community being created among us. Whatever threat, pain, or darkness we encounter, we are not to be scattered. We stay with one another, following the voice we know and by which we all are known. How much pain and destruction is wrought in our world because of the fear of destruction and tragedy and loneliness that could come to us and those we love. Our natural reaction is to scatter, to run and fear and fight each other for our own needs. But in this new community, we are not to be governed by fear. We are not to scatter. The work of Christ in laying down his life not only cares for each sheep, but radically changes the way that we live in this world together. This is the new way of Christ, bearing burdens and carrying sorrows, which will also mean sharing joy more deeply, because those times will come too. And sometimes those times are not as separated as we think. Moments of grace shine into our valleys of darkness, and our ache for those we love but see no longer pierces even the most joyous of occasions. But whatever the joy journey brings, we walk it together, knowing that we're not alone, knowing that God is with us. We listen to the shepherd that we know is good, and we are held together by that voice. We might be surprised by those who join the journey with us, those we never would have guessed, but who were in a different fold all along. We are part of each other. And the paradox of suffering is that in those moments when we are most vulnerable to that frightening loneliness, we are also broken open to know the deepest, most unimaginable connections. In struggle, we learn to be carried by the love of those willing to walk through the darkness with us. And so in each other, we see the good shepherd who stays with us whatever comes. In each other, we see the light that shines in the darkness. In each other, we see the God that holds us together, the God in whom we are never alone, the God who will never let us go. Amen.